This is a podcast about living out of intimacy, a conversation over coffee about a living God whose desire is to live out of you. Pour yourself a cup of coffee and join us. I'm Jason Goodson.
And I'm Johnny Taylor.
And this is Coffee and Conversations.
We're back.
We're back a week early.
We're back a week early. I had a premonition. No, I really didn't have a premonition. I don't even know what that word means. I had an opportunity. I think it was Monday night. We had, like, our fall break was like Friday, and then Saturday, Sunday, Monday. But then I thought, you know, this is a great week to do this because my week next week may not be as free.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, we can go ahead and do the podcast this week and get it started. And so we're here, and I want to thank JT for making some more coffee here. This is the John Calvin roast right here. For all you East Texas folks, this is a great product right here.
This is now the favorite coffee of the Mineola ISD Police Department.
That's right. It's Mineola ISD Police Department is drinking it now, and they have bought into it. That's what I'm drinking tonight. And I'll be up till, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning scratching the ceiling.
See, I'm up to 3 o'clock in the morning anyway, so it don't matter.
But I'm not usually. This is I'm on typically a different schedule, but we also want to thank Xander Realty for allowing us to have the podcast here. And
this office is a great place.
Office, and it's not flashy. It's not, you know, there's nothing. It's just an opportunity. She's given us an opportunity for us to come into her office and invade her space. While she is at home. So we're thankful for that, and she has given us the opportunity, has blessed us with this, and so thank you. But also we want to thank several people within the last week for sure, but yeah. Just several of you have jumped on the podcast and started listening and have started to comment, started to put our thoughts in there. And so we're excited that you have joined us.
Special shout out to Jessica.
Yes.
Because she actually came and commented after pausing the video last week and then watched the rest of the video and came back and commented after she watched the rest of the video. So
thank you, Jessica. She's always been good about commenting in the past as well. And
always great insights.
And, yeah, absolutely. And then, appreciate you.
And then we got Dean Shepherd from down in Covington, Louisiana, an old friend.
Sure.
Thanks for sharing the podcast and commenting. And
a new friend that's joined us too from Georgia, Mr. Josh Blue.
Yes.
And so thanks for liking the page and sharing the stuff, and we appreciate that.
If you're listening this week, I'm guessing you probably found us through John Lynch. Some connection
there.
Yeah,
so there's that, and also there is a...
And my friend Shane from Oklahoma.
Shane from Oklahoma as well. But there is... I'm just telling you, there's people that are listening, and if you're not listening, if you're listening and you're not commenting, that's fine. We're not... But we would like for you to, because we want to hear from you, and we want to hear your thoughts as well. And I've already read some of the comments that have been made so far, and just really have appreciated.
We want to know if you disagree with what we said.
Well, I love the fact that I think, and I was telling JT this, is that the fact that I think there's a lot of hungry people out there that want to hear this truth of Christ in us, living in us as us, and having our identity based in Him, and there's a hunger for it because it's very rarely taught in the church, and so it's something that I've sat through these classes before. You have to do a sermon, and that sermon's got to have 3 points. It's got to have a poem, and it's got to have all this other stuff in it. Or it's not a proper sermon. You know, your sermon's got to have this. And I'm not, never have been that guy. Probably will not be that guy. And will never have that opportunity to be that guy. Now,
I don't want to be that guy. let's personally
go back to that point in saying this is that I probably will never be that guy as well. But I'm all about getting on some videos. I'm all about the YouTube, TikTok ears, whatever we're doing, you know, Facebook, whatever it is.
Yeah, if we were seeking a big audience, we would have probably quit this a long time ago.
Yeah. So, but it's the audience that you're going to, I mean, it's you, the hungry ones, that are beginning to see that it's not about religion, it's about relationship, and it's about living in Him. And that's part of what this podcast is about tonight. And the question we put up on Facebook...
that nobody answered.
Nobody answered tonight.
And I know 69 people saw it.
So I don't know if it was, I'm afraid to answer this question or what to that, but...
yeah, I hadn't figured that out, so... But we will get into
this. If you haven't seen it, the question is what, JT?
What is the purpose of the Ten Commandments according to Scripture?
What is the purpose of the Ten Commandments according to the Scripture?
Which makes me laugh a little bit when I ask that question.
Funny, yeah. I don't know. I think for those of us who have read Scripture and gone through the Bible and read the, you know, read it from cover to cover, and you see the Ten Commandments, I think the first thing that a lot of people are going to think of is the law. It's the start of the law.
Yeah.
And even though Exodus 20 only gives us the 10 right there, that goes on, and
I think wasn't there like 200 more, and then the Pharisees and priests and stuff turned it into 800 and something.
It's like 631,
yeah,
or something. It's a strange number.
Yeah,
but there's a bunch.
Yeah,
there's written in the law, but this is the one that, you know, we're talking about the stone tablets, of course.
Yes,
on this one, okay, that that God gave to Abraham on the mount. And anyways, a lot of that comes from the fact that, I don't know about you, but trying to and grow up in my Christianity and grow up in my relationship with God as a young man, there was a thought for so long that me trying to keep that law was the most difficult thing. But I lived to keep that law. You know,
yeah.
My purpose was to live to keep that law. Why? Because that told me, those are 10 things that God told me that I should not do.
Or that you should do.
Well,
the first two you should do.
Well, there's some shoulds and some shouldn'ts.
Yeah.
And so the day I quit shouldn't on myself is the day I quit worrying about whether or not those things were going to be fulfilled in me or not.
Yeah.
But the should nots, there's some shoulds and some should nots, and I just don't know. But when I want to say the first time I ever read Romans 3:20, where it talks about, let me get up my handy dandy Bible here. Speaking of
3:20.
Speaking of Romans,
wherefore by works of the law, no flesh. Shall, by the works of the law shall no flesh be declared righteous before him, for through law is a knowledge of sin.
Oh yeah, there it is. Yeah. Well, that's what I think. That's what the way I. But I never saw the law as something that was bad in the sense of, hey, this is purpose behind it is to show me my sin. You know, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight.
Right.
For by the law is a knowledge of sin. Well, wow. And so I think that rocked my world, I think.
Yeah.
The very first time I read that or saw that and understood what it meant.
Yeah.
Is the fact that it kind of rocked me a little bit.
I know what a failure I am now. at least on the outside.
It was quite the... I don't know. I don't even know the proper way to say it. It was eye-opening.
Yeah.
Eye-opening for me. I was like, man, if I've been trying to do this all along and trying to keep those to the T, then and if that shows me, gives me my knowledge of sin, man, it did make me feel bad. A lot of times it made me feel bad because I had a lot of hate in my heart, a lot of things like that really caused me to look at it in different ways.
Yeah. And there's so many views of the law from people, and it's, you have to take scripture at what it says, that the law was holy,
yeah,
righteous, and good. And I think this week I've been getting a more of a sense of kind of the purpose there. And when it says it was good, why it was good. Because mm-hmm. Like we said a few weeks ago, I asked the question on the podcast, how many things of the law do you have to keep for God to be okay with you? And most people nowadays would say, oh, I'm under grace, I'm not under law. No, you're not under law, but you have to qualify as keeping every single law.
Yeah.
To be okay with God.
And there's so many things. We've talked about that in the past. We've answered that question that we put out there.
Yeah, we just didn't call it the Ten Commandments.
We called it the law.
We talked about the law and its purpose.
Although it's not, like I said, not the full extent of the law in the sense of the numbers and all the stuff that was added to it, but that was the first 10 that was followed by the Israelites.
And then Jesus said, if you keep the first one, it's, you've kept it all.
That's right. And the law, if you want to dig into it, you want to kind of get an idea of it. It was literally, I think God did it to show his holiness.
Well, and
it's a part of the holiness of who he is. And this is how serious, just like, hey, this is the extent of what it is right here. And it was written simply. It's not like he gave 100 things to do. It's not like he gave Adam and Eve in the garden 100 things to do.
Hell, he gave them one.
You know, that's what I'm saying. And you're looking back at this, man, how hard is it to do 10? Well, I tell you, it is difficult.
It's impossible.
It's impossible.
Unless.
Unless what?
Unless you're already righteous.
Well, there's a way for that then, right?
Yep.
And there is a way. Now, how did that way happen?
That happened because Jesus, who was righteous, he wasn't born of the seed of Adam.
Okay.
So sin was not passed to him.
Correct.
So he didn't have the blemish of sin. He wasn't blinded by sin.
Right.
And he was righteous, so he was able to keep the law and fulfill that covenant.
Correct.
Because Jesus said he didn't come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill it.
Right.
But he was the only righteous man to ever be born. So he was the only one that could ever fulfill it.
Right.
And he was righteous because he was all God too.
Very good.
Guess what our new creature is. Jesus said, as it was said of Jesus, he was the firstborn of many.
The firstborn of
the
many.
The firstborn of many. See, he was righteous because he was 100% God.
Right.
And that made his flesh righteous. Because it did not sin. He was able to keep the law because he was righteous.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
So, if we're a new creature, we're the same new creature he was. He was the firstborn of that creature.
That's good.
Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's not I who now live, but Christ in
me.
Me.
That's right, Paul.
And this life I live in the flesh, 20, yeah. I live by faith of the Son of God.
That's very good. Well, how did all that become enacted, JT? Well, how did all that become true of us? How does all that, what does it go back to?
What was it we said a few weeks ago?
Yep.
We inherited obedience.
We inherited. disobedience. Obedience of what? And so there's like, and there's a way, and there is an inheritance, and it's available. But there is, you know, oh gosh, man, what do I got to do? And it goes back to that question. It goes back to the question, what do I got to do to make those Ten Commandments all true of me? What do I have to do to make that inheritance true of me? Well, you know, what do I have to do to make all those things true? And it's always been the same thing.
Always.
It's always been the same thing. Now, you have to go back and look at what it says in the Bible. Well, there's, what, how many terms through this? If you go back to Genesis 15:6, to be specific, I believe that's the first time he mentions that. And it may have been earlier than that.
We're talking about the promise to Abraham.
Yeah, the promise to Abraham, where he talks about literally in Genesis 15:6, that Abraham believed and was credited to him as righteousness. I believe is close to the term that it says in Genesis 15:6.
Yeah, he's talking about him being made in the stars of the heaven in 15:6. And Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness.
That's right.
Faith in God.
When we see in Genesis 12, he gives him the promise of, I'll make your inheritance and your people a great nation.
Yeah.
Make you a great nation. And there's all kinds of these truths, but that is a promise right there. Well, and he credited him as righteousness because he did what? Well, Abraham believed it.
Yep.
Okay. Now, that's a key for a lot of things in your life right now. It's the key for the one thing that matters.
It really is.
I mean, it's one thing to say I believe, but not believe it.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are there.
It's back to what I always say was the greatest prayer in the Bible.
That's right.
Greatest thing asked of Jesus was, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's really good. It goes back to that because it really sets up and it's really a logical thing because some people find it really hard to believe.
And
they don't set their minds on the things that are, you know, of this idea of Christ because they're never presented with this thing that's been presented to us and that's been shown to us, that's been given to us, is the fact that he loves us. I mean, the moment I believed, that's all it took.
Yeah.
That's all it took. And believed. And when I started believing and who I was in Christ, and who Christ was in me, and what he did for me, and how all this worked together, that's where the new creation really set.
Yeah, you started setting your mind on things above and not on the things below, which is this flesh.
That's right. And it became a new lifestyle for me.
Yeah.
What I would call a new normal is that I don't feel guilty about the things I used to feel guilty over so easily anymore.
Because you're not condemned, and you believe it.
And I believe that I'm not condemned. That's exactly right. And so I begin to read Scripture as if I'm not condemned. And so those are things that matter in how you view yourself and how you see Him. So when I read Scripture, I read it to the aspect of learning, hey, this is what I want to know about God.
Yes.
You know, and believing in Him and who He is. But also reading it in that mindset of going, okay, I'm not condemned anymore. I am righteous. I am right in Him. And so I'm going to read it from that perspective from this point forward. And I begin to see and open up how God is just really, man, it's unbelievable. It's indescribable.
And I've said this on here before. Is when you start, this happened to me when I met somebody that just oozed grace, mm-hmm. and I realized the relationship I want with God as possible. But that is reinforced every time I read scripture from the point of who God says I am.
That's right. Yeah.
Those scriptures just jump out and keep telling me this is what God's done. And you can have an intimate relationship with Christ because God has done this. And that's the thing that excites me about it. It's not that I got my life together.
Yeah.
But it's that I can have that intimate relationship.
Right. The relationship is possible. And I think a lot of people, you said something earlier tonight, specifically about relationships. I think it's the thing that separates a lot of Christians who will believe and a lot of people who say they believe it, but really hadn't seen.
Yeah.
Okay. And there's a lot of that going on as well. Okay. Yes. So the law.
I was going to say, let's throw out the thing about this. The question I asked earlier, Jason, I didn't put this one on the thing, but because I think this is such a problem. Have you ever seen, and I don't know if I've ever seen a guy like this. There probably are some out there. I think I've seen brides more like this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And maybe that's just because I'm a guy. So that might be my perspective, like we talked about last week. But a bride is all excited she's getting married.
Right.
And she's talking about getting married. And she's talking about all this thing about this relationship and what being married is going to be like, how excited she is about it.
My wedding day. It's going to be my, this is my.
But you never hear her talk about the one she says she loves.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about what's going on in the relationship, not the person.
Right.
That she has a relationship with. And I think we see a lot of marriages end because it didn't live up to all she built it up to be.
Sure.
And her focus was not on the person that she loved.
Right.
So now,
that's an illustration of what he's talking about here. So listen to it. That's,
so here's what I asked Jason and him. I said, do we have a relationship with Christ or do we have a relationship with our relationship?
Okay.
Is our relationship about the relationship, or is it about the person of our relationship?
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty easy to tell which one it is. Because if the focus is on doing all the things.
Yeah, if your focus is just showing up three times a week to church, you've gone through the door, you sat and listened to the sermon, you raised your hand, you sang a song.
I prayed.
You went to Sunday school.
I had a quiet time.
I've had quiet times. I
prayed 30 minutes 3 days this week.
You've had all those things. But if you've missed the person of what all those things are about, you've missed it.
Yeah, you got a relationship with your relationship.
That's right. You have a relationship with your church-going relationship.
Yeah. Relationship.
Something I think a lot existed in that for a long time. And man, and now I've just freed myself to have a relationship with God and be enjoying who that of who He is and who and walking with Him daily has become a whole different story.
Yeah,
because of that.
Because when I first got saved, I was all just so excited about the relationship, not about what was going on, but about who I had a relationship with.
Yeah.
And then I started being told, "Well, you got to do all these things for this relationship to be okay."
That's right.
Or God's not gonna be happy if you don't do all these things. So then my focus changed from Jesus, who I loved,
right,
to all the things I had to do.
Right.
So anyway.
No, it's really good because I think you go back and look at the Bible. And I like to go back and do that and look at all the things in Scripture and see what it really meant in the context of what it really means.
Yeah.
Okay? So if I'm looking at, if I want to study covenants, let's pull that in. If I want to bring in what a covenant is, or I want to bring in, learn about the law. If I want to.
Can you explain what a covenant in Jewish terms is?
Okay, so if we're looking, there's the word brit. Okay, is B-R-I-T in Hebrew, is the sacred meaning of that. It's like an agreement. It's a binding agreement. It's a relationship between God and the Jewish people, if you want to look at it from their perspective.
Yeah.
Okay. And the foundation of that was the theology in which their identity. It was if you look at a covenant in Scripture, it's a divine promise that God has made. All right, where He sets specific expectations up, blessings, responsibilities for humanity. I mean, you think of all those things, okay? But you have to look at it. If you're looking at it from that context, it's something that is really, really, for them, who was the covenants given to? Well, Noah had a covenant given to him, okay? Who else? It was Abraham. There was a Mosaic covenant, and there was also the Davidic covenant, okay, to David.
Yep.
And so there's, if you're looking at the roles of that covenants and all this, and so, you know, you'll hear people talk about, well, this covenant that God made with Abraham, all right, it's not a temporary covenant, you know.
It's eternal. Pretty much all these covenants you just mentioned, once they were enacted,
it's an eternal,
yeah. And internal.
So listen, I mean, you know, we said, well, there's a Noahic covenant. Well, think about the promise that God made to Noah when they walked out on dry land. His family was up. They set up the altar, right?
Yep.
And there was a covenant given, and part of that covenant was, you know, promising that He would never destroy the earth again with flood, right? And what was the sign of that covenant? Well, it's the rainbow was the sign of that covenant. So when you see the rainbow in the sky, it's a remembrance of God not destroyed. Now, have there been hurricanes that have caused massive things to go on and floods that have killed people?
Yes.
But it's not the whole earth that we're talking about here.
Right. The whole earth has not been flooded again.
Yeah. And so that's a difference. And people will be like, well, He's done. Okay. This covenant those covenants are really, if you're looking at it in context of Scripture, those are it right there. But it's a promise between God and His people.
Right.
So who am I and who are you? How do we fit into that world of covenants?
Because those covenants were eternal.
They're eternal. That's right. And so,
not just for the Jewish people of blood.
If you go back, and I find this fascinating about Paul too, because Paul mentioned this all the time. In the book of Romans, I believe it's, I want to say it's Romans. If I go to Romans 4, 5, 6, 7, even through all the way up to where the Romans 7 chapter, right before Romans 8.
Yeah.
He goes back in, he talks about for the Jews first and then for the what?
Gentiles.
The Gentiles, the Greeks is what he calls them.
The non-Jewish blood.
Well, that's everybody outside of that. So understanding that, okay, what is the condition to believe or to salvation? I gave it away.
Believe.
Believe, all right? And so that was the condition all along. That was the condition from the very, before, you mentioned this earlier tonight too, and that this was all set up before God even spoke anything into existence.
Yeah, because I had to question my mind today, why don't we call the grace covenant the new covenant?
Right.
Because it said the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the earth, which was the fulfillment of that covenant.
That's right. So all that to say is that's very interesting that we think about those things, but we are enacted into those covenants as eternal, and in this eternal relationship with God as a part of the nation, as a part of that, you know, because we are in Christ and He is in us. We live in Him. We have our, I just read the verse, which made me stand out.
I tell you something I think that Christians are missing is that the law covenant was just as important as the grace covenant.
Right.
Because it was all part of the plan.
Yes. You have several scriptures here that kind of enact, that kind of back that up. You know, do not think that I came to destroy the law, Matthew 5:17 says.
But I came
That's not to our fulfill. Words. It's the words of Jesus speaking here.
Yep.
That I didn't come to destroy the law of the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill it.
And then Paul in Romans 7.
Yeah. Same thing. For surely I say to you, I'm in verse 18, till heaven and earth pass away, not one, you mention this earth, not one jot, one tittle will by no means pass from the law until it's all fulfilled. Romans 7:12, right?
Yep.
Therefore the law is holy and the commandment holy, just, and good. Man, these are, man, have you heard people trash the law?
Yeah.
I have.
Paul didn't.
I have. I've trashed it. I've trashed all those things because I was so pissed that it showed me my sin. It killed me. It brought me to my death, man.
Yeah.
But it brought me to the place where I needed to be to understand that
it did exactly what Scripture said it was for.
What it was supposed to do. And it worked to bring it out and make me the new creature I am today.
Even though Paul said it resulted in his death.
That's right.
But that was a good thing because then he knew he needed life.
That's right.
And until then, he didn't know he needed life.
I think you mentioned this. You might have mentioned this earlier. I like this a lot. That Christ didn't become righteous, right? Because he kept the law. But he kept it because
he was righteous.
He was righteous.
And that's the only way it could be kept. It's the only way it could be fulfilled.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. That very purpose. And this is bringing us back to the question.
Yes.
The purpose of the Ten Commandments. Yeah. And what we wanted to say about the Ten Commandments. Because they said, Jesus said, the first commandment, if you keep it, you've done all the law.
That's right.
Just love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your... Do you love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your might, all your strength?
Do you love your neighbors as yourself?
Let's raise the hands up. Everybody's doing that. And I know you're pointing the finger saying, blaspheming at us. Guess what verse we're going to go back to?
Boop.
Romans.
Can't imagine.
8:4. Where we've been for 3 podcasts now.
Yeah.
For what the law was, we're going to do it, start 3 here. For what the law was not able to do in that it was weak through the flesh. It's weak through the flesh.
Yeah.
If I'm talking about my flesh, no, I'm not doing that because it can't.
Mm-hmm.
It has no ability because my flesh was not righteous.
Right.
So it couldn't keep the law. And sin was condemned. The sin in the flesh was condemned.
Correct.
It was condemned.
Yeah.
But that's not me, because I'm not condemned. Romans 8:4, that the righteousness of the law may be fulfilled in us,
mm-hmm.
who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. If I walk according to the Spirit, which is who I am.
Yes.
And trust the work of Christ in me, that new creature that God has made me.
Correct.
If that's where I want to live from, it says I meet that requirement.
Mm-hmm.
I meet the requirement of all 10 commandments. And to meet the requirement means I do it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that makes any sense to you. But that's why we raised our hands.
That's why we raised our hands.
Exactly. Not because I'm doing something, but because we are something that's already done it. Our inheritance of life is His life, and He did all of it.
That's right.
And we get the credit.
That's exactly right.
For keeping the law.
It's very good.
See, it says the righteousness. It says that the righteousness of the law may be fulfilled. The righteousness of loving the Lord your God with all your heart, and all your soul, and all your might. I have credit for that. as if I've done it.
Exactly.
Because who I am on the inside does it.
Mm-hmm.
At this very moment.
Is doing it now. Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And will continue to do it.
That's exactly
throughout
right.
eternity.
That's right.
Do you understand that? Do you understand who this new creature is?
It's crazy.
It's way better than you can imagine.
It's way better than you can imagine. Yeah.
And because of that, guess what? I don't have to worry about all of the earthly things.
Right.
I can concentrate on the person in my relationship.
Exactly right.
Which is Christ. I can be a bride that's not worried about the wedding.
That's right.
Not even taking a thought for the wedding.
Because
mm-hmm. it's taken care of.
It's taken care of. That's right.
All I have to do is focus on the groom.
That's right. It's good, man. Yeah.
Fire. I mean, I've been fired up today.
Because I love this, too, because Galatians 5:14 backs it all up. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself.
Yep.
All right. I love that. For in him we live, move, and have our being. Love that. Acts 17:28.
In him we live and move.
Live, move
in him.
And also some of your poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring, we ought not to think that divine nature is like gold, silver, or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Right?
Right.
Woo, woo.
Some good stuff.
It is, man.
And it,
because it really, that really just, what it gives us the foundation of understanding that it really is him.
Yeah.
That's living and moving and being.
Something I saw today I'd never noticed in a verse. Let's jump back to a Old Testament prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
Ezekiel 11:19.
That was really good.
And we all know this verse.
Yep.
I never heard this in this verse before. As many times as I've heard it repeated, as many times I've read it. It says, then I will give them one heart.
Mm-hmm.
I always heard new heart. And not Bob. Then I will give them one heart. And I will put a new spirit within them and take the stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. But I will give them one heart, a heart of Christ. 100% God.
Yeah.
100% righteous. 100% holy.
That's right.
But look at all the stuff I do. Things of this earth. Things of the flesh. It's not I, but sin that dwells in my flesh.
I like that.
Oh, it's that's so rest. Good,
that's really good.
But you can still take that and say, oh, this is so great for me. And forget, this is not about me. This is about the one I love.
Exactly right.
It's about the relationship that I can have because this is true.
I love it.
There's no barrier between us and Christ.
That's right.
Because he's here as a very part of us, one heart.
That's hot.
Oh.
That's really good. Yeah, yeah. I like that statement. A lot. It resonates on the inside, too. And it's all over Scripture, too, by the way.
Oh, it's...
Listen, I'm serious. No, listen to this. Okay. It's Ezekiel. Like, I think this is where you've heard this before, is Ezekiel 36:26.
Yeah.
I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you.
Yep.
Okay, you've heard that.
So
also, he goes back and... There's a lot. Deuteronomy even throws in he talks about this right before he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all that you may live. He says that he will what? He will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God. I love that, man. Well, what's he doing? Well, he's making it new. He's showing it and revealing it. Yes. It's good stuff, man.
He's talking about the law being kept.
That's right.
Within the people, within the inner person.
That's right. Jeremiah, I will give them a new heart to know me, that I am the Lord.
To know me.
24/7. Good. Yeah, I mean, it's just Jeremiah 32.
Not so you can be an okay person.
That's right.
But to know me.
There's a purpose for it. Jeremiah 32, 39, and 40. And this is the scripture just breathing life here. This is really good stuff. He says, in verse 40, he says, I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from doing them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts so that they will not depart from me. But in 39, it says this, then I will give him one heart, one way, that they may fear me forever. That's good, man.
Oh, yeah.
Love it.
Where is the scripture? I was trying to remember the scripture about it. He'll write the law on our hearts.
Yes. Yeah.
It'll be a very part of us.
Oh, listen, our favorite, well, some of our favorite verses that Jesus ever said, John 17, 21, 23.
Yeah.
This makes you really, brings this to home, that they all may be what?
One.
As you, Father, are in me and I in you. I love that. And verse 23 says, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in?
One.
Thank you.
Numerical one, not unity.
That's good.
I mean, there's a huge difference between numerical one and unity one.
Yes.
And that's why anything that can be said of Jesus,
that's right,
can be said of you.
That's right. It's true of Christ.
Of us.
That's right. That's exactly right. It's good, man. And I love it. Because I don't do it. If you don't do it, he says, I will do it.
Yep. God says, and we are it.
That's it, man. Love it.
It's finished.
It is, man.
Pour the foundation.
It's good.
The grace covenant that was completed before the foundation of the world. Always the plan.
Always.
And one law, and then, oh, they can't keep the law, so I've got to do something different. Now, the law was just say, hey, you need the original covenant here. You need the original promise. And you only get that by faith.
I love it.
And then you get the law covenant. You get all the other ones.
You get all. That's right.
Nothing lacking. That's what we were talking about earlier about Paul kept the rules.
That's right. He did.
And then he called them a pile of, I won't say the word he actually used. All that keeping of the rules and doing all of those things that are considered good,
right,
was a pile of garbage.
That's right.
And then he accepted a free gift of Christ in you.
That's right.
My law keeping won't work. I have to receive.
That's exactly right.
And he became a new creature. And he became a doer of the spirit of the law, because Jesus lives in him, a very part of him, and gave him all of his obedience.
Very good. Love it. Oh, that fires me up. Here we go. All right. So listen, live it, learn it, believe it, walk in it. Because if you don't start doing that, you just have to start doing it. And I promise you, all this stuff will be revealed, and it'll totally resonate and make sense. But you just have to start living it.
And the difference there, you think about the promise was given to Abraham, and he started trying to do. And we still have the results of him trying to do.
Exactly.
Yeah. We still have war in the Middle East right at this moment.
Right.
Because of the descendants of what he tried to do.
That's right. Tried to enact it himself.
Yep. But once he rested and believed God was going to do it.
That's right.
Then Isaac came forth.
Isaac came forth. That's exactly right.
Which was a fulfillment of God's promise.
That's right. Absolutely. Awesome. Well, like I said, go in. We said this earlier, go in to YouTube, our YouTube channel, Coffee Conversations About God, and hit that like button, share, and comment, and just be a part of the episode with us. And leave us your thoughts, leave us your commentary, leave us whatever it is that you want to leave us on there to let us see, and just give us your thoughts on the podcast as well, so that we can interact with you, and we want to make new friends too.
Yep.
Yeah, so enjoy us.
God willing, we'll be back in 2 weeks.
Yeah, God willing.
Like, I think was a bad thing last time we said that, man.
Yeah, God willing, back in 2 weeks is what our hope is. So, and I'm just glad we got to do the extra one and jump in and do it and get it on, and because next week is pretty busy. So,
I got to say, I think the stuff we covered tonight may be the most important thing we have covered since we started the podcast back.
Yeah, it's good. It's all good. It just leads up to this, and it really, I think it sets forth a lot of the things we've talked about for a long time.
Yeah, and we've hinted at, and yeah.
It's just learning how to say it in such a way that you'll understand it, and that's why we pray that God will reveal it to you.
Because yeah,
that's really the
and
only
you,
way.
And you may get insight that we don't have into it.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Because God speaks. If God speaks.
That's right. He speaks.
We may not even know what he said. But you may have heard it. And that's where we have to rest and depend.
That's right.
So.
That's exactly right. But like I said, thank you for joining us.
Yes.
Thanks for the coffee. JT was awesome. And thanks, Xander Realty, for letting us have this.
Pat Hamlin.
Pat Hamlin for letting us have this building for the night and every other night that we've been in here. So. We'll see you next time.